From NPR News, this is Weekends on All Things Considered. I'm Guy Raz. Sounds from the streets and neighborhoods in Cairo this evening, a city and a country that appears on the verge of revolution. Earlier in the day, the embattled president, Hosni Mubarak, appointed a new vice president. His name is Omar Suleiman, and he heads Egypt's powerful intelligence services. Now, it's not clear whether that move will be enough to keep Mubarak in power. The public, for now, seems to be demanding change. Here's Mohamed El-Baradei, a former UN official and now opposition figure in Egypt, speaking to the BBC.
I don't think he can succeed. You know, what I hear today, you know, that people will go back to the streets. They will go back even in larger number probably in the next few days. Now the police, who has been, you know, using violence against them.
The uprising in Egypt, that's our cover story this hour. In a moment, a report from our correspondent in Cairo. And later, what next if Mubarak loses his grip on power? First, though, to NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson on a quieter protest, you can call it the uprising of the civilian peacekeeper.
The battle for democracy is still underway in Tahrir Square, but for these young men, the weapon of choice was a broom. They, like many here, are unhappy with the Egypt the world is seeing in recent days. Fighting for political and economic reform is important, they say, but so is doing it with dignity. With quiet determination, they are trying to restore that dignity by sweeping away charred metal, rocks, and bullet fragments that litter the streets and sidewalks. Nearby, Egyptian Army Lieutenant Amin al-Masri collects garbage from the square, which he stuffs into black plastic bags. The 24-year-old engineer says he finds the process calming, like lighting a candle in the darkness.
I was very upset to see this chaos, this situation. I'm angry. I'm not with the mobs because it became chaotic and without aim or purpose.
He initially came to make sure the Egyptian National Museum and its antiquities weren't being vandalized. But al-Masri says when he saw another Egyptian collecting garbage, he felt compelled to join him. So did more than a dozen others. By early afternoon, they'd collected some 300 bags worth of trash.
The aim is not just cleaning the street, but the aim is to give a message of hope.
That's what many people who are in the square seek. They say they need something more than slogans. They want to take back their streets. Young men have formed ad hoc neighborhood watch groups across Cairo. They brandish sticks to stop vandals and looters who've been breaking into stores and homes. Other young men like Hosni Imam direct traffic now that the police have fled. He wears an Egyptian flag tied like a bandana around his neck. He says he wears this because he's proud to be Egyptian. He calls himself a patriot protecting his country. He loves that Egyptians have joined to demand their rights.
My head is raised up high for the first time. Now I can truly say I breathe the air of my country.
But his smile fades when he talks about the looters and vandals who've defaced property. That includes the Egyptian Museum, says tour guide Walid Afifi. But he blames the government rather than unruly protesters. He accuses officials of allowing the country to descend into chaos to justify using violence to suppress the protests. Afifi points to the high-rise that was the ruling party's headquarters. It is burning out of control and appears in danger of collapsing. He says not a single fire engine has come to try and put out the flames.
I was afraid because there are still the smoke coming out of a burning building, and it's very close to the Egyptian Museum, so the fire is very close by, and I wonder why the government doesn't put the fire out, and we don't have a real government to show some strength in the country in any respect.
He says letting the country go, as President Mubarak appears to be doing, only ensures that his legacy will be that of a tyrant. Soraya Sarhadi Nelson, NPR News, Cairo.